Hi everyone. We're extending our break by just a little bit before we return to regular programming. So instead, here's another short excerpt from season 1. In March, we reported how the previous week's chart topper, Apna Banale, from the movie Bedia, went AWOL from the charts after Zee Music Company's catalog was pulled off Spotify. Now, 3 weeks ago, the track re-entered the charts, indicating that the service and the label have renewed their licensing agreement. This week, Apna Banale is at number 58, all the way up from number 98, making it one of the biggest climbers this week. Its disappearance in March kicked off a discussion on whether number one on charts truly means number one in the country. In India's case, the answer is, well, not necessarily. We dive into why that is on this week's shot. Those who have been listening to this podcast regularly would have noticed that one track is suspiciously missing in the top three. And we have repeatedly taken this track's name, at least in every episode, as far as I can remember since we've been doing this. And if you've not realized what the track is, it's Apna Banale from Bedia. We actually thought it was a glitch in the charts. But it ends up that Zee Music, which is the label that has this particular track and the license to the music from this film, is now off of Spotify. And again, this is nothing really unusual. These things happen in the line of business and music streaming multiple times. The renewal's happening until, you know, both parties come to terms. There are these times where you sort of have to take the track off the platform. And then it sort of comes back. But this puts you in a very weird position when it comes to people like us who are looking at the charts, where essentially we're not looking at the true number one, right? Like, and Amit, you were telling me something about a time from back in the 90s when Billboard had a very interesting way of looking at the charts. I'm calling it interesting, to be kind, but can you maybe talk to us more about this? Because this goes to how charts are sort of curated in general.
Yeah, and I think I have to thank my chart geekiness and my, I won't say investigative, but my journalistic reporting sort of background to sort of having figured this out. Because, you know, the day that this chart was released, like I think it was the middle of last week, and the daily chart was released and Apna Banale was no longer number one. And I thought, okay, maybe, you know, because they sort of show preview of the chart and you see like the number one track. But when I clicked on it, I was like, it's not there anywhere. So this is really strange. And then I tried to look at other charts and I looked at like Apple chart, which is still number one on. And I was like, okay, so there's something wrong with Spotify maybe because, you know, why has this chart disappeared? And then when I see it wasn't there the next day again, I said, hey, okay, which label is this track on? And I saw that all of Zee's tracks have disappeared. And it's not like this was the only Zee Music, song on the chart. There were quite a few others. There was like Maya Menu from Jersey, which was one of the most streamed tracks, I think, of last year. You know, there's a whole bunch of like catalog stuff. Like, I think Zalima from Raiz and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Now, like you said, this week's number one. Is it really the number one? Because if Zee Music catalog was still on Spotify, would it Apna Banale be number one? Probably it might, if not number one, it'd probably be number two.
Yeah.
And you know, in India, we don't have a consolidated music, official music chart yet. We have one for international music, but we don't have it for the entire music, all genres.
And like, talk through a little bit about how Billboard does it, right? Because it's all streaming services. It's not only Spotify. Yes. There's also radio and TV.
Yeah. So if like, for instance, if India had an all genre chart, then, you know, we'd be able to see the impact of not being on a particular platform mixed to a song, which we can't do right here. So how the Billboard chart is, so the Billboard doesn't have TV. TV is not part of it.
But,
and neither is TikTok, interestingly. Short format video is not on it. But what Billboard does have, it's streaming, including YouTube, and it's radio airplay, and it's sales. Now, sales, of course, are pretty much non-existent in India. In the US, they're also pretty much falling consistently. But the only time that, you know, you'll have like artists like BTS and all the K-pop guys releasing special singles, and they become like collector's editions. Or you have like an artist like Taylor Swift who will also release like CD singles on their web store, and you know that'll have a good, big impact on the chart. And the US, what the most quizzical thing about the US charts, I think, compared to the rest of the world, the including radio airplay, and because radio airplay is included on the chart, it really sort of skews the you know what the charts look like. Because the UK chart, which I suppose is the most other followed chart apart from the US, you know, is purely so sales and streaming based. Radio is not included in that. So, and this is something that I think that the US has grappled with over the years. Now, in the 1990s, there was a very strange period where a lot of the most popular songs didn't actually chart on the Billboard Hot 100, because the Billboard Hot 100 at that point of time was supposed to be a singles chart. It was called the Hot 100 Singles Chart.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that a single had to be released for it to qualify to enter the chart. So, In a physical format, like a CD or a vinyl or whatever. Even a cassette. Now, what happened is that some great classic songs have never charted on the Billboard Hot 100. Even if you go back like to the early 1960s and 70s, Stairway to Heaven is a classic example.
Mm.
It has never charted on the Billboard Hot 100. But you have in the 1990s a very odd situation where what was happening is that labels decided that if a song started to do well, you know, on a single, what they would do and how would they know it would start to do well, because radio stations would start playing it.
Right.
And, you know, it would get a huge amount of radio airplay. Now, if you wanted to own that song, a physical copy of the song, they wouldn't release a single. They would kind of force you to buy the album. From what I understand, singles don't really make a lot of money for record labels, but albums do because they're much higher priced.
Correct.
So as a result of this, in the mid-1990s, a lot of songs did not hit the Billboard Hot 100. And some of the examples that I can give you are like Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, Don't Speak by No Doubt, Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. I mean, you'd be surprised if like you think the Torn and like Don't Speak were number one hits, right? And they were technically number one hits because they were number one on the Billboard radio airplay chart. But because they were not allowed to chart on Billboard, because they were not actually released as singles, they never ever entered the Hot 100. There are some exceptions to this, because finally Billboard relented, and in 1998, I think in December 1998, they decided, or that was the first, from those charts onwards, they would allow songs that had not been officially released as singles to chart. And as a result, I think Iris and Torn have some very low peaking number, because you know, by then they were on the end of their chart sort of run at by that point of time. And so, you know, now, from now on, the Billboard chart is called it was changed from a Hot 100 singles to Hot 100 songs. So I guess if you were to look at a chart in the 1990s, in the US Billboard Hot 100, it'd be kind of similar to the situation that we are facing today, where the number one song is not necessarily the actual number one song. You know, because if you just think of, so what is the number one song? The number one song is the most popular song in the country. And as we discussed, there are different ways to sort of, you know, measure popularity. And I suppose that was the intention of Billboard having a composite chart in the first place, right? Sales, streams, and radio airplay.
How long it took for them to get to this point of collecting these many data points? Because, you know, in India, I think there have been efforts to do this, but it's really complicated because, data sharing is not as prevalent, right?
Yeah.
The second thing, even within DSPs, like two of the biggest DSPs are telco-owned, which gives you a whole another complication on what parent companies allow you to share and who they allow you to share it with. So I'm just curious, I don't know if you know the answer, how did they get to a point of collecting all of this? So, was there some lobbying that had to be done?
What I understand in the US, you know, everything, they have a company, right? There's a company called Luminate. I think it was previously known as Nielsen. And so Nielsen sort of just tracks all of this data. And essentially, you know, the US also had a very, at some point of time, you know, this is, we're talking about the pre-streaming era, right? We're talking about the 1990s. at some point of time, they changed the way that they actually measure the chart. In the US, up until 1991, you would be surprised to know how they measured sales. This is probably the same way that they did it in India back then. But what they would do is that they would have their chart department call up record stores and mm-hmm. ask the record stores to tell them what the top 10 or whatever most
sold
albums and singles were. And I don't know if they didn't just call them up or they just got these reports from them. So obviously, huge scope for fudging, right?
Yeah.
And huge scope for payola. But then in the early 1990s, what they did was they, till that point of time, it was pop and rock dominating. Overnight, you saw hip hop coming in the singles chart in a huge way. And like that actually was more people were consuming, like, you know, buying hip hop music and listening to it. And especially when it came to singles and when it came to albums, country music, which is completely underrepresented on the chart. Like both these genres, it just sort of like it completely changed the way that it happened.
Fascinating, by the way, because I mean, obviously, I bought CDs, okay, and like I've seen those barcodes being scanned, right? And to me, my only functional purpose of why it existed was I thought it just takes the cost from it and it bills it to you. But to realize that that barcode technology had more, you know, function beyond that, like, I mean, that's news to me, and like, you know, I learned something new.
Yeah,
but I cut you off. You were saying something else.
Yeah, no, I was saying that, you know, there's always a way to fudge this also. I mean, you know, there's rumors of like people buying their own albums, you know, to get a high chart position and all of that. But I think that requires a lot more effort than, you know.
And the quantum at which you'll have to do
I mean, you can probably affect your first week sales, but you're not going to do it consistently. And similarly, it's just like how you buy YouTube views today, right? I mean, it's kind of similar. Today's a modern day equivalent of that. But, you know, you asked a question about like in India. So in India, if you look at the, we do have one official chart, right? We do have an international.
The international IMI one.
Which the IMI publishes. Now that chart is only based on streams from three international music services, which are Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. So they tried very hard to get the, and of course the main intention was to start an all genre chart, right? Like how you have everywhere around the world. And they're still trying to do this, but they felt that, look, it's taking so long, let's at least start with an international chart. And because majority of international music is consumed on these three platforms, let's go with that. And the reason they did this was because, like you said, the domestic DSPs did not, I mean, just don't want to share the data or, you know, so whether that's your Wink Music or your JioSaavn or your Gaana, I mean, they didn't give me specifics, of course, but like, I mean, those are the three big streaming services in India, right? The three domestic streaming services. And if that was the issue that they're having, then it's pretty much this reluctance to share data, right?
No, but I'm telling you, with telco-backed, it's a very different issue. Like, with telco-backed companies, they're also... Even your parent company sharing information to you, there's a particular way in which it has to be done. So, and some of these do have to do with regulatory, you know, sort of like, you know, rules that govern these. So I think it's a little bit more complicated. Like I wouldn't go as easy as saying reluctancy, but I would maybe say the complexity of it, you know.
But would somebody like, say, a Wink, which is like a, owned by a public company, you know, they'll have some public disclosure also to make, right? I mean, if you look at all of these other companies, you know, they're all sort of publicly listed companies in the US. So the tech giants and all these companies are the ones that are like the major streaming platforms and they are supplying the data. So I don't know. I think, I mean, generally, historically, it's probably not even the DSPs that were reluctant to share the data. It was the labels that didn't want the DSPs to share their data.
See, that is also possible. Yeah, but we're going into conspiracy theory domain, but it is also possible because, like, you know, there is, okay, again, like, without naming names, there have been, like, lots of labels who very much prefer editorialized charts because they can control it, right? So there have been people who want to really encourage a more editorial-driven, you know, you are the curator, you tell us the top 10 sort of an approach that has been encouraged a lot. But obviously, you know, even, for example, And like, I'll tell you this from experience, when Indian DSPs wanted to start putting stream numbers on the front end, it was a challenge to get the labels to accept
So that, there you go. So it's not the streaming services, it's the labels, because they don't want their actual numbers out there, because, you know, that affects so many things. And, you know, it's kind of nuts. And I suppose this is why YouTube allows them to show the promotional views and the big figure, but on the charts it's something different. So it's kind of like having their cake and eat it too, as we discussed.